from the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune, joins me. I'm in Los Angeles, which I would argue is the center of the baseball universe tonight, as Shohei Ohtani serves as opener against the Dodgers, the start of a four-game series. Certainly the National League West is the center of the baseball universe at this moment. Ryan, where would you like to start?
You know, I would like to start with Shohei Ohtani. You know, I think we can talk about the Padres Diamondback series a little bit later in the show. To me, the big story tonight is Shohei Ohtani. He's making his first start as a Dodger on the mound. They're only expected to go an inning or so to be an opener, but this seems like at least symbolically a pretty big move and a pretty big day in baseball. What can we expect from Shohei Ohtani? Are you surprised that they're breaking him out against the Padres, or is this just how this rivalry works now?
It's an inning. I mean, I hate to be that guy. You're 100% correct. Like, symbolically huge. As I said, it's the center of the baseball universe. I mean, it's a big deal. What it says about, like, what the Dodgers might have, you know, with Shohei Ohtani as another guy to throw out there, since they're throwing everything out there, pitching wise, as they deal with a lot of injuries. It's huge. It's an inning. So, like, was it against the Marlins? Was it against the Padres? I mean, it helps them fill an inning. I mean, they're going Emmett Sheehan one of the next 2 days. I think Wednesday he's coming back for Tommy John. How long will he go? It's a bullpen game, I think, tomorrow, and Sheehan would be Wednesday. Their only real starter is Yamamoto on Thursday. So, like, hey, cool. Shohei Ohtani helps him get through. Obviously, it's a bigger deal than that. It will be, I mean, it's going to be a zoo tonight. It's a zoo anyway. It is going to be a zoo tonight and a really cool atmosphere. I just laugh because, like, oh, and then it'll be the second inning and we'll go on from there.
Right. See, I laugh because now Dodger fans are going to have to be in their seats before 7:30. And I'm not sure if that happens very often. So 7:10 start. To me, you know what? At 7:09, I will have my TV on ready to go because it's Fernando Tatis Jr. versus Shohei Ohtani. Assuming Tatis will hit leadoff as he has been. That's a big moment because Fernando Tatis Jr. is starting to figure it out a little bit. And Shohei Ohtani is obviously the biggest name in baseball at the moment. And that's sort of where I want to take a quick step back. Kevin, the Padres and I think that there's actually a lot to like in that series, despite the bullpen's implosion on Saturday. Fernando Tatis appears to be getting right. They're playing a little bit. Their path to victory looks more now like it did in April and early May than it did 2 weeks ago. They're scoring runs. What did you come away with from that series?
Yeah, I came away with, you know, you and I identified it as a big series. They lost the series. And, you know, a lot of other stuff happened, especially yesterday. And that was, you know, like outside of their control. Big series, missed opportunity certainly on Saturday. But you know what the difference between Saturday's game and Sunday's game, an 8-7 victory, an 8-7 loss and an 8-2 victory was that Robert Suarez didn't blow up and allow 5 runs in the ninth inning. That was the difference. And in the course of 162 game, you can shrug at that and go, okay, you know what? It seems like they're on the right path. Can they afford too many more of those? No, they cannot. Not when they're sitting where they are in the middle of, I mean, obviously they hold a playoff spot, but they're in the middle of this gigantic pack of teams that are contenders in the National League West. They are third in the National League, in the National League, and then they're third in the National League West. And they're 3 games back of the Dodgers, a game back of the Giants, who just got Rafael Devers. They can't afford too many more of those, but absolutely. Fernando Tatis Jr. heating up, Manny Machado continuing to hit, moving the line on offense the last 2 nights. And then you could say they did it Tuesday as well. There's been some signs lately. It would have been I think it would have been terribly discouraging and maybe a bad sign had they not followed up what they did Saturday with what they did Sunday. Because that's happened a couple times where you're like, oh, okay, here they go. And then they don't. So I thought that was big.
Yeah, I thought so too. You know, I thought, you hate to say must win games ever in baseball, much less in June. But I thought that it was important, I think, for sort of the narrative that they come out and play well yesterday. And they did. Jake Cronenworth's a guy who, you know, we talk about on the show, sometimes only in passing, because there are bigger names on this team. There are larger salaries on this team. He had the big blow yesterday, home run early. You know, you look at his numbers this year, this is right in line with really what you're hoping for out of him, right? 240, five home runs, 17 RBIs, OPS of mid sevens. You know, you could expect maybe a little bit more there, but he has not been sort of the mystery that he's been here for most of the last two seasons. He's a pretty solid regular at the moment.
I'm always eager to argue that to agree with that. He's far more than the numbers, but the numbers do matter when they're terrible, right? And so yeah, this is good Jake. It is a sustained good Jake. He generally starts the season pretty well. He's very streaky, but this is good Jake. And I loved that yesterday's home run came on the 10th pitch of an at bat. He was battling off really good pitches. He was down 0-2, fouled off four pitches, a couple of them like good pitches to foul off, and that's about all you're going to do with them. Took a ball, fouled off another pitch, took a ball, and then took a change up below the zone and hit a home run. You know, that's a good at bat that helps, you know, make Merrill Kelly throw more pitches, and you go, hey, attaboy if he strikes out or grounds out to second. 10 pitches and a home run, that's monster, man. Beside, for more than giving them a 3-0 lead, which, look, they had a 1-0 lead at the time, and they had lost 1-0 leads the previous couple games, and that was big, and it was indicative of what they did yesterday.
Absolutely. Some of the big news yesterday came right before the Giants played the Dodgers on Sunday Night Baseball. The Giants announced that they had acquired Rafael Devers from the Red Sox. They gave up a couple of pitchers, a couple of minor leaguers. You know, Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks are the big leaguers heading over to Boston. Kevin, you and I were texting last night, and you know, it was at least your opinion then that was a pretty good price for a guy like Rafael Devers. What does this do for the National League West race, and what pressure does this put on the Padres to go get somebody?
I think the pressure was already there, but yes, absolutely. It's like, okay. One of the teams that you're battling, let's be honest, probably for second place, but let's go ahead and just, you know, say, okay, for the division, and then, you know, for a playoff spot, just got better. And you would think that Devers plays really well there. Without getting into like what it means for the Red Sox and all that, that's like down the road stuff, and that's for Red Sox fans and media. What does it mean for the Giants long term? I won't even go there. Like, yeah, they're on the hook for a lot of money, and they got to figure out what to do with two third basemen and make Devers happy there. But like, I'll tell you what, from the perspective of the fan, the perspective of right now, which I think that's pretty much all that fans care about, and I kind of see myself as working for the fan, I'll say, you know, this just got a lot harder. That's my bottom line takeaway, is that this just got a lot harder.
Right. I find it hard to believe, Kevin, that the Padres, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and Giants will all be buyers at the deadline, right? That's 4/5 of your division. To me, I guess my first thought yesterday was, you know, what if the Padres are now 3 games behind the Giants, 4 games behind the Giants, 5 games behind the Giants at the deadline? Does this change their plans, right? Does the fact that the Giants have pushed some chips into the middle here, and, you know, a quick aside, this is a team, a franchise that has had a hard time signing free agents lately. So, you know, trading for a guy like Devers, in a way, you know, that sort of deal, there's not all the money in the world couldn't have gotten them Rafael Devers otherwise, right? It's kind of smart on their behalf. You know, to me, the question is do the Padres change their thoughts here as we near the deadline because of what other teams are doing?
And do you mean like what, like, do you, because I'm with you, like, I had, I think, similar thoughts, but do you mean like, do they become sellers? No, like,
Could they trade?
They have to, I think.
Right. And I'll throw a name out just because it fits for the sake of this conversation. Does it make sense to trade Dylan Cease? A guy who you're probably not going to keep beyond this year. A guy who has a really good track record in the big leagues, but is not having a good season. Would it make sense now to say, do that and then also go get an outfielder? You know, does it change sort of where they see themselves in this race? You know, I know it's too soon to tell, but, you know, the Giants, to me, made a big move yesterday. And I think that if the Padres' goal is to either win the West or make it as a wild card team, that job just got a lot harder. you know?
That is intriguing. I think more one of their relievers. You know, they're not going to keep Adrian Merrill-Hone probably. That's to me almost sacrilegious based on the strength of their bullpen. But, you know, I've talked about this potential looming pitching crisis, and, you know, sending away Dylan Cease is not a move to win now. Though everything you said about that is true. It's like, you just gave away another 100 innings that you're expecting there or whatever it is. I haven't done the math, but I don't see them trading a starter of that caliber. Plus, now, is Yu Darvish back and throwing six innings and Michael King comes back tomorrow? Maybe, but I just don't know unless, yeah, that's what got you, a frontline left fielder, right-handed bat, and a catcher. It better get you an awful lot. And I just don't see that happening. The dealing from their strength, as painful as it might be, which is the young relievers they have, both minor leagues and in the majors, could be what they have to do to be able to swing something, because they just don't have a lot or as much as maybe some other teams. Didn't the Red Sox like give up their number one pick from last year? I mean, I don't know that the Padres are interested in doing that. They're not going to trade away one of their top two prospects. I think that to some extent, teams would argue they're always buyers and sellers. But I think that in the context that we're talking about, that fans would talk about, the Padres are going to have to sell a little bit to get something that actually makes them better. And you brought up a point, 4/5 of the National League West, and that's just the National League West, could be buyers. Well, this is considered a pretty weak market anyway for the buyers. Like, what does that leave you? I mean, don't be expecting. That's why Fernando Tatis Jr., Xander Bogaerts, Luis Arraez picking it up is the number one thing. Yo, shiny object. The guys you have got to pick it up.
True. But Kevin, we're trying to fill a half hour on a podcast, so shiny objects are good content every once in a while.
And they're important content, absolutely. Sure. But like, there is just so much that is so much more, not more important. And I just, you know me, I'm going to push back on what becomes the big narrative. And also, can we ever learn? I've used this line before. I have never seen the trophy case for winning the offseason or winning the trade at deadline. Never once, because if there was one, it would be at Petco Park. Mm-hmm. But I have seen, or I should say, I also haven't seen, because it doesn't exist, the trophy case that holds the World Series trophy for the Padres.
Right.
So, like, can we focus on what it takes to win and the players that are there? The players that, by the way, they've traded for. The players that they've spent a lot of money on, like, I don't put it past AJ Preller to make a gigantic move, but it might be his best move ever, given that he doesn't have a lot of resources. It might be his most creative moves ever at this trade deadline, if it's something that makes the Padres appreciably better.
Right. Can I go here for a minute with Robert Suarez?
You can do whatever you want.
He has a player option, doesn't he, after this season?
Yes.
This is a guy who, again, he's a little bit, you know, he's over 30, so that's working against him a little bit. Just because he's newish to the big leagues doesn't mean that he's a young player, right? Played overseas. Would a bold move there be to see what you can get for a closer who may just walk at the end of the season for more money somewhere else, or may do what he did after his rookie year, which was tear up his deal and say, now give me more money? Is that something that, I mean, they entertain that line of thinking during the offseason. You think they do it now?
I don't think you're crazy. I don't. I don't know who steps into that breach, because they have three guys that could be those guys, but are they this year?
Right.
And what are you playing with? Now, that said, I haven't been able to drill down deep into why it is that I don't feel, or that, like, you feel like Robert's kind of tenuous, because the contact rate, it seems higher, but it's not. Or it wasn't a couple of weeks ago when I checked. The numbers are better or as good with the fastball.
Velo is still amazing with him.
I don't know what it is that makes it feel so tenuous with Robert, other than, you know what, it kind of always feels tenuous with your elite relievers because, oh, he saved 21 games. That's two more than anyone else in the majors. Oh, that's what he's supposed to do. And then you remember the four walks and the five runs to the Angels and the, I mean, that was ugly. I mean, that was ugly. I'm not sure actually which one was uglier. The walks, right? Or how about the one he got away with against the Pirates, where ball four was called strike? Yep. Like, yep. Or I'm not sure what was uglier, though, that Angels game where the four walks, the five runs, or this one where changeups down the middle were just getting hit. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure because they were both very troubling. That said, he's a guy who's proved time and again, and he's a workhorse. Oh, that's a tough one. But I also don't know what the market is for him relative to what you're going to be asking for. But I don't think you're crazy.
Right. I think it's also one of those things is the kinds of teams that need a closer at the deadline probably aren't the teams that are willing to give you a left fielder. Right. These are separate transactions, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that's tough. I also look at the elite closers who are on the move every year at the trade deadline. And what teams get back for them. Remember, the Padres got Tanner Scott a year ago, right, at the trade deadline. Yeah. Tell me if I'm wrong here. They didn't give up a whole lot. You know,
right. I don't they know gave up middling up. Major leaguers at best.
Right, right. I don't know what giving up Robert Suarez could get you unless you go, hey, we're out of it. We're going to give Jeremiah Estrada a two-month audition. We're going to see if Bradley Rodriguez can get healthy and see what he can do.
Oh, yeah, whole different conversation, right? Like, let's say you get swept here. You fall seven back of the Dodgers. Meanwhile, the Giants, you know, whoever they're playing right now, they sweep them. And gosh, the Brewers continue to surge. And now we're getting into the middle of July, and we have no end in sight to Michael King's absence. Completely different conversation. And then I think, as has been the case since – before the season, that you could go into absolute sell mode. And this is a terrible thing to say, and I don't believe it for where we are now, because this is a contending team that, if it plays to its potential, can be a World Series contender. There's intrigue there if you become a seller for what you can do to make yourself better in the future, given that you have some payroll flexibility coming up and you need some payroll flexibility because of the big contracts. There is some intrigue there, but that is absolutely not the way that anyone wants to be thinking right now.
Right. And Kevin, you just watched them play each other for three games in a row. It's a simple question here. Who's the better team right now, the Padres or the Diamondbacks? What do you think?
The Diamondbacks are, their offense is amazing, especially against right-handers. Now, I think if you watch the Diamondbacks every day, you say, but what about that bullpen? They've got decent starters, and their offense just seems to have the ability to do things that the Padres, you know, thought they did. Now, a week from now, if the Padres come in here and continue to do what they did, then they get to go home and play the Royals, who are, you know, a somewhat dangerous team, but not really, not right now. A week from now, I would easily say the Padres, because I think the Padres are better, or like somewhere inside of them are better, but not the team I just watched, or the team I just watched, meaning the Diamondbacks, and the team I've been watching for the last month and a half, sort of get, you know, not do anything really. They're boring for a month. So not only they were middling and they were boring. Yeah, I would say the Diamondbacks. That's why it's a long season. That's why my game story was what it was yesterday, which is kind of looking back at what Manny Machado said after the loss. I wouldn't change anything. Keep doing what we're doing. And then, like he was a prophet, Manny knows baseball. The next day, they kept doing it, and they won that game. And you know what? When they've done what they did yesterday, which is give themselves opportunities offensively, then they do generally win. And so the Padres are, I think, a very good team, but they're a team with like looming issues.
When did Eugenio Suarez turn into Babe Ruth, by the way?
Well, yeah, he looks for pitches and he gets them. And look, they got what now? He has 21 and Carroll has 20. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, man. Geraldo Perdomo's a hitter. They've got some guys that can get some hits, right? And Marte, there, that's what I was looking for. Like, yeah. But yeah, Eugenio Suarez, who, by the way, Padres were pretty hot on back when they were looking for third baseman back in 18 and then before Manny came, Eugenio Suarez could have been a Padre and Manny wouldn't have been. I always think of that, right? Those kind of things, how legacies and teams are just from boom like that. But I've always loved Eugenio Suarez, not as a guy who's now on pace for what, 50 bombs, but but yeah, he certainly hunts for stuff.
Right. Here's a Padres what if, because you brought up Manny Machado. What if Will Myers was a great third baseman? Remember when he tried out at third? Was that at the end of 17, right?
I think they were closer to get Eugenio Suarez than that. But yes, we can go down this road. Sure.
Remember they put Will Myers at third?
Yes, sure do.
They were awful. It was must-see TV for me, man. Absolutely. I loved watching him move around a little. And I still think he's a better athlete than people give him credit for.
I'm 100% with you.
Yeah.
I'm 100% with you. Right. You know all the stuff they asked him to do and that we could laugh at because – okay, that's not what it's supposed to look like sometimes. But you know how good he was actually at doing those things like that you're just not supposed to be able to do and still perform? I mean, like, yeah, Will was very, very good.
Yeah. If he was good, if he had a good 2 weeks at third base, maybe they don't go looking for Manny Machado that offseason.
And they're
maybe
intrigued. They go, Will Myers, yeah.
You know,
and then they spend the off season in spring training, and they're going to make Will Myers a third baseman. Oh my gosh, we could do a whole what if podcast one time.
That would be fun. That would be really fun. Kevin, Padres Dodgers 4-game series. Let's just very quickly go over the pitching. We've already talked about Ohtani. He starts tonight, and then he'll be followed by. Have they announced?
Is it Kasperius, I believe?
Yeah. I thought that's what I had read.
He opened the finale, I believe, there on Wednesday, right? Where they scored one run off him and four. That was the start of another pretty good game by the Dodgers and their bullpen.
Right, yes. Big night tonight for Dylan Cease. He's coming off his first quality start since May 20th. Walked five last time he faced the Dodgers, but got his first win since April 2nd.
Shut him out.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, looks like the kind of game that to me is, again, just, you know, the Padres will have a good chance if he can pitch well. Randy Vasquez versus a TBA on Tuesday. Randy Vasquez almost had a quality start in his last time out, but got lifted. Yep.
That's a bullpen game.
Yep, bullpen game. Wednesday,
Stephen for the Dodgers. Kolek.
Yep. Wednesday, Steve McCulloch may surprise you. Bullpen game for the Dodgers, allegedly.
Yeah, and then, I think Sheehan, but then it probably devolves into bullpen, right?
Right. Then after that, you've got Ryan Bergeart versus Yoshinobu Yamamoto on Thursday. That, to me, is an interesting matchup. Yamamoto, I think, is fun as heck to watch pitch. And, you know, Bergeart, he's gone at least five innings, his first three starts in the majors, 2.93 ERA during that time. Looking like he belongs. Not sure that I would line him up against Yamamoto in a playoff game, but in June, hey, it's a tough challenge for him.
It appears that he has what it takes to pitch in virtually every way. He's got a really good slider. He is unafraid. And the thing with the young pitchers, and this is part of the other reason I've talked about the potential pitching crisis. I'm stressing that word. The Padres did not like that story. Potential, or some of the Padres did not like that story. Potential pitching crisis is you don't know what you're going to get with young pitchers. You can get Stephen Kolek throwing a shutout at Coors Field. You can get Stephen Kolek walking five batters. You can get a guy who tries to strike out guys when he's not a strikeout pitcher. You don't know what you're going to get from young pitchers. Right. Unless you're Paul Skeens, and since that's a unicorn, we don't even need to talk about it, okay? Right. So, I love what I happen to identify more with. Not that I could, in my wildest dreams, be as talented as any of these three guys, but I happen to identify more with guys like Stephen Kolek, Randy Vasquez, Ryan Bergeart, than Paul Skeens. Like, Paul Skeens is the 0.1% of the 1%, right? Mm-hmm. Those guys are busting their ass. Not that Paul Skene's not busting his ass. Those guys are just busting it to make it in the majors. And they got to be on, man. I love that. I love what those three guys are doing.
Right.
When I say that they have, you don't know what young pitchers are going to do, that you have a potential, you know, situation, that's not a knock on those guys. That's just, hey, we got to see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you must really love Mr. Granite Hills High, Trenton Brooks. Trenton Brooks. You saw a little bit of him in spring training. Obviously, he's taken Jackson Merrill's place on the Jackson Merrill's on the injured list, concussion list. Trenton Brooks is up. You saw him in spring. What are they getting here? And is he the kind of guy who could start a game or two this week?
Yeah, he can start a game or two. There's even some people in the organization who think he's pretty good in left field. So, you know, you can see him out there. And, you know, left-handed hitter, I did not know that we would see Trenton Brooks, no matter what he did almost down in AAA, which, by the way, was very good. But they've reached the point where, look, and Jackson Merrill going on the concussion list probably saved Luis Camposano, because I think Trenton Brooks was coming up anyway. The Luis Camposano needs to play. And we'll see. We'll see. This is very good for this kid. Always happy to see that. That a guy had been up with the Giants last year. They first baseman by trade. But like I said, some people think that he's a pretty good, or let's call it, he's a decent left fielder.
Right, right, right. It's so funny. I know that they're built totally differently, but he reminds me a little bit of Alex Dickerson. Local guy, left-handed hitter. It doesn't have the power Dickerson had. Former Giant, right? Just like, you know, to me, there's a lot of things here. I'm really curious to see what they've got, because we watched a lot of Luis Campusano. We've watched a lot of Tyler Wade. You know, interesting to see if this new bat, you know, can provide a little bit of a spark for them.
I mean, let him get in there and play. And I'm always going to root for a good story. I'm still focused on the core of this team. And it is so... it's not just like good for wins. It's just so much better when Fernando Tatis Jr. is leading this offense. Mm-hmm. He creates stuff, man. It is so fun. And I know that I think that Mike Schilt, maybe you've seen the quotes in the newsletter, or if you're really crazy, you actually listen to or watch Mike Schilt's post-game news conferences. Yeah. When I say crazy, I say with admiration, good for you. But he called when Fernando Tatis Jr. is on like he has been the last couple days, that he's the best player on the planet, Mike Schilt said. And then Mike Schilt doesn't like to do that, doesn't like to make those big statements. And he tried, but you could tell he was kind of cringing that he did it. And I love other players. There's a lot of good players. I don't want to put that on Fernando. But the fact is, that is the guy minus the power right now. He's going to Dodger Stadium. We'll see. That is the guy who you can actually make that argument about. That is the guy the last couple days, stealing third, going second to third on a play most guys wouldn't have, and then, boom, gets home because the throw was a little bit off, got past the cutoff or the backup guy, like just making stuff, creating havoc. I remember when he was taking the league by storm, and there were like five times in the span of like 12 games where Tatis stole second and went to third because the catcher made an error on the throw or it got past, like creating havoc. That, and then the talent with the bat. So what happened during, what's fascinating about this last month for Tati is, like, he started to do stuff on the bases, get walks, started to run more, and then the bat came around. You know what? A lot of guys can't do that. It's the bat or nothing. And Fernando found a way to be a contributor, and then, boom, the bat got back.
Yep, taking extra bases when it looks like he shouldn't. I mean, he went, what, was it first to second yesterday? It was a single, he turned into a double, correct?
I think he turned two in, but yes, definitely one of them.
Yeah, it's just, again, fun to watch. And, you know, it's so funny. He came home and scored yesterday, and you could see him. And for those who aren't watching, he did this. He went with his, with his fingers, you know, like, hey, like he's allowed to smile now, which is kind of cool. Kevin, I always put you on, I'll always put you on the spot, but we're right up against our time limit here, so I'll be brief. Phoenix in June, 100 and what? And how did you deal with even the short walk to the ballpark with 110 degree heat?
I do not mind it at all. Here's the thing. Dry heat's a real thing. You know, people make fun of it. I don't understand it. Like when you say dry heat, like it's not a, it is so much better than humidity. So I'll be in Atlanta in a few weeks again, right? Yeah, joke's on me. We were there in May, and it was San Diego humid in May in Atlanta. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm so glad we're here in May and not. And then I was like, oh, yeah, the All-Star game. I'll be back here. You're outside for 1 minute in Atlanta or Washington, D.C. or Miami in the humidity, and you're soaked. Mm-hmm. You can walk 10 minutes to the ballpark in 110, and it's fine. It's fine. Do you want to run to the ballpark? Do you want to be out there for a half hour? Well, I wouldn't know. I think that anyone who's done that is probably dead. But you can do it. And they got the misters. I know my route to the ballpark from my hotel. I know where the misters are on. So I don't mind it. Now, I wouldn't live there unless you made me. But yeah, I don't mind it. You obviously are very familiar with it.
I'm familiar. Tucson, a little different from Phoenix, a little bit cooler, but still dry. Yeah, not awful. Not awful, but you know, at some point 110 is 110. You know, I think 96 can feel like 82. Yeah, sure. But man,
easy for me to say. I always say that when people talk about the travel and all that, I'm all, look, if a place sucks, I get to leave in 3 days. You know what absolutely. I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. Excellent. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast, Padres Dodgers 4-game series starting tonight at Dodger Stadium. Shohei Ohtani pitching for the Dodgers. Kevin, happy Father's Day to you. I know you were on the road yesterday and that must have sucked, but I know that you've got kids and grandkids, and hopefully they were able to touch base with you at some point yesterday.
Yes. And through the days leading up to it. Yes. Very, very nice. And happy Father's Day to you, because you're still actively in the process of raising little humans. And I know the challenge. So kudos to you.
Yes. Thank God that the door in my home office locks, because otherwise we would have been interrupted a couple times already today. So there we go. Padres Dodgers. We'll talk to you Friday, Kev. Big series coming up against the Royals.